meta theme. Good Lord. Time for Histrionics, where each week we take a look back at the past through the prism of popular culture. Yes, indeed. This is better than looking at history in textbooks. We here on Histrionics, this is what we do. We take a piece of music or film, something emblematic of a particular moment in time. Tonight, that time is Australia. The imagined dystopian Australia of the late 1970s, marauding gangs, graphic violence, and muscle cars.
Tomorrow, in a world gone mad, the only law will be a renegade squad of suicidal cops.
He's my prisoner, and he's not walking out that door.
And the open road will be controlled by gangs of glory roaders. Max is a cop, one of the best.
Where does the route to get you? Scoot jockeys? Yeah, nomad trash.
Toe Cutter is a glory roader, one of the most sadistic.
Anything I say, anything you say, what a wonderful philosophy you have. Take him away.
I want my baby.
You've not got a sense of humor.
Please don't hurt my baby.
You've got a pretty face, though.
Both want the other dead.
Ah, yes, the unmistakable sounds of the third Alvin Purple movie. No, not really. Mad Max 1. Woo! Joining us to discuss this classic, this absolute classic of Australian cinema, Richard Suada. He's head of film programs at the Australian Centre for the Moving Image. Richard, welcome.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
What an amazing film.
It is incredible.
A ripper of a film. I mean, look, this is our task here, is to say what that said about us at the time, because it was there was a lot going on there about our feeling for the future back in the late 70s of car culture, of gang culture.
Yep.
Cars That Ate Paris, is that vaguely contemporary?
It is vaguely contemporary. I don't have the date of the Cars That Ate Paris,
but
right,
it's the
off
same
the top of my
sort
head.
Of vibe in a funny sort of way.
It is. It does have that kind of stripped backness, if I can put in those kind of car terms, that Mad Max has. You know, there's a real leanness and kind of a real nasty darkness to it.
But Mad Max takes that to a whole other level of aggression and toughness.
It does. But also Mad Max has got, like a lot of the Australian films of the time, a lot of scope. And I don't know if you see that kind of scope necessarily in Australian films made today.
Tell me what you mean by scope there.
Well, I mean, you know, it was set on the road, on the open road, and the photography really captures that openness. So it's like, I've shown the film many times at cinemas all around the country, and it's literally a CinemaScope film. You know, it's a big, open screen. And as the screen opens, you know, as the masking opens when you're watching the film as an audience, you just kind of move further and further and further back from it because it's so big. And then in the opening sequence of the film where Max and the bikies are having this chase, you know, warming up for the chase, you know, when the tires are squealing and the exhaust pipe, you know, is throbbing, you know, it's loud and it's right at you.
But that was sort of the place, though. I mean, clearly what's represented in Mad Max was not the Australia of what is it, 1979? But that whole thing of machismo, of car culture, of gang violence was very in your face at that time. I mean, that was a part of us. This sort of represented anxieties that culturally we might have felt at that moment.
Well, that's really true. And it's interesting, I guess, the way that it came out in Mad Max, because the films that were surrounding it at the time and just before were much softer. You know, there was, you know, sort of the Picnic at Hanging Rocks and Chanted Jimmy Blacksmith was a pretty hard movie, but it was still a more, I don't know, costumed type work that hark back to the, you know, Picnic at Hanging Rock sort of period type pieces. And Max really came out much, much harder. And I remember around the time that Mad Max came out, and I was spending a lot of time in Western Australia and Sydney as well, and that whole Bogan culture was so strong. And I think one of the things that links Mad Max to the real world is the cars that are in Mad Max, you could own.
They're real cars.
Yeah, you could own. And were probably in your garage, you know, when you're a teenager.
Ford X, whatever it is.
That's exactly right. So, you know, they were there and they were real, but the whole environment was so beautifully futuristic, but still rooted in things that you understood.
Which is where that sort of futuristic thing works, is when you can sense its currency, its roots in the contemporary, and yet there's something which is slightly out of whack. But
that's right.
That's why it rings true.
That's exactly right. And, you know, you could see people in those cars doing the laps on George Street in Sydney on a, you know, Friday and Saturday night, just going round and round and round.
And this, ladies and gentlemen, is the logical extension of that behaviour.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Ozploitation is an expression reformed that I'd not heard before, but this is a fine example of it, apparently, I'm told.
It is. Max. It's, you know, it's perhaps the most refined exploitation type film. There was quite a number around at the time. There was, you know, a really, really good one called The Man from Hong Kong, which was a great action movie, like actually seriously good action movie. There was quite a number of others, mostly from the same kind of filmmakers. Turkey Shoot was another one. Stone was one of those biking movies.
What were we trying to work out about ourselves through all this, do you think?
Look, I don't know if with some of them there was much working out to be done. There was more working out how to make a lot of money as quickly as you can. That was maybe one of the workings out. But Max was a different kind of thing. You know, after a number of years of filmmakers experimenting with this exploitation action kind of type subject, I think Max, you know, there was great cinematographers working on it. There was really good people working the armoury and the pyrotechnics and such.
And real risks being taken in the shoot.
Oh, absolutely. In Max itself, there's a sequence where the goose is riding full pedal. The goose is one of the motorcycle cops. He's absolutely going on his motorbike as fast as he can go. And the cameraman is actually on the back of the motorbike and they're doing 260 k's right there. And the action in the film, there is so much truth in it. In fact, the original female lead in the film wasn't able to appear in the film because on the first day, literally on the first day of shooting, she had a motorcycle accident with one of the stuntmen on the way out to the set, and he broke his legs, and I think she broke an arm or a leg or whatever. So they had to replace her right then. So that's
it's all pretty raw and on the edge.
It is. But that's, you get that sense in the movie as well. You know, there is so much energy and let's just go. And I think that's what it is. Let's go.
And that's the temper of the times. Muscle cars, gangs, high speed, fumes of fuel.
That's
the Mad Max Australia.
Yeah.
Richard, thank you.
Pleasure.
Richard Suwata is Head of Film Programs, Australian Centre for the Moving Image. And this has been History Onyx. Now, if you have a piece of pop culture that intrigues you, that says something about us or them, something we simply have to cover, drop us a line at rndrive@your.abc.net.au or get in touch. Our Facebook or Twitter bits are there for your suggestions. RN Drive with me, Jonathan Green.